You all can open to the book of Proverbs if you'd like to. Proverbs. Not too long ago, I really stressed this verse. I guess it was when we started the year and I did a message on honoring the Lord with our money. Proverbs 9, verse 12. You could probably turn there first. I think it's a good springboard text. Just to get us thinking, Proverbs, wisdom. This is tremendous instruction for the Christian life. And you know, a lot of times we might think about instruction for a young man. But the truths here, the wisdom contained, is for young and old, male and female. Timeless truth, timeless wisdom. That even when you've walked with the Lord for years and years, you can go back to Proverbs and just the richness of some of these truths. And I wish I had Proverbs memorized and I could just recall them anytime I wanted to. I wish I could do that with the whole Bible. Proverbs 9:12. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. And I love that verse. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. If you seek out wisdom and you find it, it's going to benefit you. And if you don't get it, then you're the one that suffers for it. And so, I want us to think about, just to start, I have 10 topics that come out of the Proverbs. And there's more. What I did was I went through and I picked 10 that we often don't think about. When we think about Proverbs, there's a lot in there about money. We think about Proverbs, there's obviously a lot in there about wisdom. There's a lot there about how we use our mouth. But I hit on some that maybe we don't think about so often. The first one has to do with counsel. The second one has to do with responsibility. The third with living in the sight of God. The fourth with diligence. The fifth with integrity. The sixth with graciousness in a woman. Seven, I call it being thick-skinned. Eight, devising good. Nine, known by your acts. And 10, I called it life doesn't happen by accident. I don't know if we'll get to all of them or not. But what led me in this direction, you know, once in a while I have things happen pastorally where it just seems like one thing after another. I have these encounters or I have phone calls or emails or a combination. It's kind of like the King James thing that I did a few weeks ago. It just seemed like it just kept coming up. And so a lot of times I look at things and I think it keeps coming up. If it's a question that James shoots to me and it goes right along with some other things that have happened, I tend to go with what it seems like the Lord is setting in my lap. And let me just tell you about some things that I've encountered recently. You all know that I went to a conference over in Houston. And the pastor over there told me that there's a young man in the church that they're disciplining. In fact, it looks like they're at the third stage. It looks like they're going to bring this young man before the church. And I don't know the full extent of everything, but he told me very specifically this one fact. He said that this young man went to some other city which required him at least temporarily to move away from the church. He went to this city to work. And the pastor there told me that the council of the elders to him unanimously, the council was, don't go. And he went anyways. Now, I don't think that that's solely the reason. I mean, there's a lot of times people don't do my counsel, but it's not a disciplinary issue because perhaps it was my opinion, perhaps it was my informed opinion, and somebody chose not to take it, and they're choosing not to take it. In my estimation, might not be wise, but it's not sin either. It's not a disciplinary matter. But anyway, here's this young man. He ignored the counsel of his elders. And he went and he just did what he wanted to do. That was one thing that happened just this weekend. About a week ago, I had a phone call with a missionary who is thinking about going in a certain direction into a certain country, and he has an advisory panel here at home in the States made up of pastors from various churches. The entire advisory panel counseled him, don't go. In fact, this missionary told me every one of his people that he sought counsel from within his advisory council and outside of it, everybody has told him, don't go. And yet, last I knew, he's determined to go. So that's another thing. Even more recently, even than this last weekend, is James was telling me just yesterday about a member of the church here that is looking at making a major life decision. And James was pointing out he hadn't sought counsel. I mean, those are three things in the space of about a week. You've got some, actually a fairly mature Christian making a very important decision, a major decision, and hasn't sought counsel, at least to my knowledge or to James' knowledge. You have a young man who, whether he sought it or not, he got the counsel of all of his elders, and he has five elders. Six, I think. Well, one's kind of on sabbatical. But the counsel of the elders was not to do something, and he went and did it. A missionary who received counsel from his advisory board not to do something, and from some others as well. And to date, it seems he's determined to do it. About a week ago, I was dealing with a woman who my desire was in calling her was that I was hoping to, I've been praying and thinking and strategizing in my own mind about how possibly to help this sister get out of a real financial bind that she's in, but without seeking counsel, she went off and made a decision that has plunged her two times further into debt than she was prior. So that's another thing. That's a fourth thing that's happened. And it got me thinking about counsel. And it got me thinking about wisdom. Now remember this, wisdom. You know what? If I'm going to make a decision in my life and I seek the counsel that is going to bring me as close as possible to discerning what God wants for me. That's being wise. Because in the end, don't we seek counsel because what we're really after is discerning God's will? I mean, that's what we're after. And so, the wisest thing, if I'm wise, I'm wise for me. And I'm amazed at how much the book of Proverbs has to say about counsel. Which is really interesting because it's instruction to Christians at large. Undoubtedly we see it when it addresses a son. The author of Hebrews shows us that's addressing every Christian. So we can take that. But there's so much said about counsel. Why? Because counsel is such an important part of the Christian life. It really is. You know, that's one of the things that God gives us in the church. That when we were lost and just running around, yeah, we could have sought counsel then. We might have asked our parents or something. But it's one of the things that is such a safety net in having the church and having leaders in the church and having sister churches. And you know, we don't put church councils in the same category of the authority of Scripture. But why through the ages have men sought it beneficial to seek one another out, to come to decisions about things? Well, because there's wisdom in counsel. There's wisdom in getting other people's perspective. There's wisdom. Why? Because other people oftentimes have different perspectives than we have. Maybe sometimes other people are more experienced about the kind of situations we're going through for the first time. They've gone through many times. And so they've got some insights, having had that experience, that we don't have. That's one of the great things about being young and seeking counsel from old people, is because old people have often walked the path that we're either walking right now or we haven't yet walked. And so there's great wisdom, whether that has to do with age only or whether it has to do with spiritual maturity. You know, I can be 45 years old and have been in the Lord for 2 years, and somebody that's 35 years old may have walked with the Lord for 20 years and they may have actually walked through things that I don't know. It may be that somebody younger than me actually may be older than me when it comes to spiritual maturity. So it isn't always an age issue. So much is said. Why? Because it impacts life. Because there's so much about seeking counsel that has to do with wisdom. And if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. If you know properly how to seek out counsel, it can help you in your life a bunch. Why? Because it can keep you from making really foolish decisions. Do you recognize that, like, take for instance, the guy that blew off his elder's counsel. I mean, whatever that looks like, he's headed for discipline. He's going to be put out of the church. That has implications on your life. I mean, think about making a foolish financial decision that puts you in debt for the next 20 years. I mean, decisions we make have real big impact. I mean, think about making major life decisions without... What are major life decisions? I've used that terminology, but what would we put in that category?
Marriage.
That's one of the biggest ones possible.
College.
That's huge.
Real estate.
Yeah, buying homes. Big investments. Big expenditures. What's something else? A vehicle, that would be in the big expenditure category.
Children.
Who said that? In what sense? Yeah, how to raise them. I mean, there's absolutely. What's something else?
Moving,
where you're going to live. Yeah, decisions with regards, and usually what has to do with where people live, we would have never thought about this when we were lost. When we were lost, where you live has to do with where you work or where you like. Now we think about where you go to church. I mean, coming to a church, leaving a church, getting married, not getting married, how you raise your kids, whether you're going to make big, whether you're going to buy a house, whether you're going to buy a car, whether you're going to leave and go work in another place. You know, making decisions like these, going to college, not going to college, where to go to college. I mean, there's decisions that we make in our lives, when to get married. You know, there's decisions that huge decisions. And if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. And if you seek good counsel, then you become wise. Those who walk with the wise, the proverb says, they become wise. And so we want to walk with wise people. We want to seek counsel from wise people. And not just one counselor. Scripture has something to say about a multitude of counselors. And we'll look at some of these verses in a second. Now, let me just tell you about some of my other experiences. It's interesting to me. On a very regular basis, I get young people who come to me. And they feel immediately compelled to have to tell me that they've already sought counsel from other godly brothers. And they don't tell me who. And it's very interesting to me that they're coming to me to seek my counsel, supposedly. I get the feeling, because I'm not one of the first of their counselors, that perhaps it's more to inform me than to actually get my counsel. And the very fact that they don't tell me who they got counsel from typically tells me they got counsel from their closest buddies. And they're embarrassed to tell me who their counselors are. Because when people have typically sought counsel from Carlos and from Matt and from James and from Diego and from Tom, they tell me right away. They're not shy about telling me. It's when they don't tell me, I suspect that they didn't go to those people. They actually have gone to their little clique. And they didn't seek me first, and they didn't seek the others first, because they really wanted to know, they really wanted to get input from people that they knew exactly how the input would come. And there just isn't wisdom in that. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And I'll tell you this, there's wisdom in getting counsel from those you know to be wise, who you're almost certain are not going to give you the kind of counsel that you want to hear. There's wisdom in getting counsel from different sorts of counselors and from people that you know have a different tendency to think in different ways. I often know when I call Sam Patrone for counsel, I have an idea about the kind of counsel he gives and about the way he thinks. And when I go to John Seitzma, John is going to have a different take on things than Sam Patrone, but I have an idea about how he's going to view things. If I go and ask James something, I have an idea. If I go and ask Charles Leiter something, I have somewhat of an idea where he's going to come from. Or if I go to Mac Tomlinson, or if I were to give Randy Pizzino a call, or you know, there's various people that I may call and ask opinions of. I can remember Bob Jennings one time telling me that they had a very almost a church split situation in the church there. I don't know if Bob finally would have called it that, but some folks left, and Bob told me, you know, he's before the Lord, he didn't know how anything would come of the church than utter devastation. And of course, he had his close counselors. Conrad Murrell was a mentor to him. Undoubtedly, Mac was one, but especially Charles. He was very close. He had been an elder there. And anyway, he told me, This whole thing happened before I knew Bob. But Bob was telling me about that period in time, because there were times when we went through some hard things here and I would seek counsel from Bob. And he told me, that there was another man in the church that was being considered as an elder, and the rift in the church was largely between Bob and this man. And Bob was seeking his counselors out, and Bob told me that every single one of his counselors told him, just let it go. Don't publicly address it. Don't have a public confrontation with him. Try to deal with it behind the scenes. Except with the one exception of Charles Leiter. Charles told him, if it's going to come to a head, have it out publicly. Totally contrary. And to the other counselors. Now, they all had ideas. They might have all been drawing from biblical principles. Bob said that in the end, he went with the counsel of the multitude. And he said when it all played out, he recognized that Charles was right. And anyway, I'm bringing that out because you go to a multitude of counselors and you go to a variety of counselors and you may get a variety of answers. But that's not bad necessarily. You want to be able to weigh these things out. You want to be able to get discernment from different people's perspectives. I want you to see what Scripture says. Look at Proverbs 11:14. I want you to get a feel for this. Counsel. Remember, if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. And in the book of wisdom, there's much said about counsel, because counsel has a lot to do with wisdom. Because based on the counselors you seek out, those counselors can impart to you great amounts of wisdom. There are people who often are wiser than you. And it's in your best interest, the interest of your wisdom, the interest of your own well-being, to seek them out. Let's just run through Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. I mean, think about a president of the United States. You know he typically has cabinet members. Why? Counselors. I mean, I've often thought, if somehow, some miracle, my wife tells me, you ought to run for president. And I thought, if I was president, what would my cabinet look like? Well, I would bring in the most godly men that I knew. And they would not be important in the eyes of the world, but they would be men who knew their Bibles through and through. And I would purposely get men of different types. I wouldn't get all the same kind of men. I wouldn't get all men of the same cookie cutter mold. I would get a diversity of men, all of which were wise in the Scriptures, but in different ways they had different gifts and different strengths. And I would put women on that council too. I would put some women. Why? Because if you've got to be president of the United States, you've got to rule over like 50% of women. So you certainly want some wise women on there too. You want to get some women's perspectives. Of course, we'd all have our wives at home. Maybe we just all bring our wives. That might be the better thing. But there's safety. Why? Why is there safety? What makes it safe? Well, it's the pool of wisdom. Why a multitude? Why not just one counselor? Right, you get different perspectives. And you know, have you ever had that happen? Where you seek out a counselor and they give you advice and it sounded good. But then you went to John Seitzma and he gave you his spin on it. And he brought up something you hadn't thought about, neither had the other guy. That definitely is an important factor to consider when you're making that kind of decision. But it says, in a abundance of counselors. And that wouldn't even mean two. Now look, that doesn't mean when I'm in the refrigerator and I'm going to pick out what I'm going to eat when I want a snack when I get home, I need to call Mario and I need to call James and I need to call Jason. And you know, I better get a multitude here. That's not what, I mean, obviously, safety. If I make a mistake about what I eat when I get home, well, it's pretty safe, even if pretty much anything that I have in the refrigerator is pretty safe. You want an abundance of counselors in matters where safety is important. Because that's the issue, safety. In other words, I don't want to make a decision about something that if I mess it up, it's not safe. You we're talking about safety matters here. We should seek out counsel. So an abundance of counselors, their safety. And I don't want to go to an abundance of fools. I want to go to an abundance of wise men. And you know, we have that reality. That if we walk with the wise, that we ourselves are wise. Proverbs 28:26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Now, who is it that trusts in his own mind? Well, you know, one way to look at that is he doesn't go to Scripture. He doesn't hear what God says. I mean, look, who should your first counselor be? The Lord. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. It means what he's thinking he trusts. He doesn't go to the counselors. Well, the first counselor we ought to go to, who's the wonderful counselor? Our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to go to him first. And we ought to seek him first. And we ought to seek his word first. In the abundance of counselors, there's safety. Well, let's go to the safest counselor of all, the one who knows everything. That's the beauty of being a Christian. We actually are fellowshipping with somebody who actually does know everything. And they've got ultimate wisdom. And they really know, and they've promised that if we acknowledge, you know where that comes from? Proverbs 3, right? If you can turn back over now to Proverbs 3. And you see this in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. Go to him as a counselor, and he will make straight your paths. He promises to give you counsel and to direct your path. He promises that. And so we want to go to him. Think about another one here, Proverbs 15:22. These are different verses that are looking at these things and with just a little bit different language. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail. You can plan. You can plan about what college to go to. You can plan about what woman to marry. They fail. That doesn't always mean that what you plan doesn't actually carry through, but the end result is what we would consider failure. I mean, you just get all hung up over a woman, guys, and you go out and marry her against all the good counsel that you could possibly get, and you may succeed in actually carrying out your plan in marrying this girl, but ultimately you would chalk it up to failure when you're having to live in the corner of a housetop. That's failure. You say, but I got the girl. Well, if you think living in the corner of a housetop with a quarrelsome woman is success, then just try that for a little while. That's why it says it's better to live there than in the corner of a housetop than with this quarrelsome and anxious woman. It's better. Making major decisions in your life. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Again, we're coming back to wisdom. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. If you're wise for yourself in the way you pick out counselors, and you pick out counselors so as to succeed, and in the picking out of those counselors you do succeed, then you succeed. That's your wisdom. And if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. If you're successful, you're successful for yourself. Look, if you get a good wife, you run this race better. It can have eternal ramifications. You get a bad wife, that can be a misery for your whole existence here on this earth. If you make a foolish mistake about college, you can waste big amounts of money and time. Redeem the time, Scripture says. We can make really foolish decisions. I mean, you know what? We've had Vess and Aaron Montgomery. They talk about these dead-end degrees. Well, why did they end up getting a dead-end degree? Well, because they had ideas about getting a degree, and they thought it was a good idea at the time, but they probably didn't seek counsel. I mean, how many of us have had good ideas, we didn't seek counsel, and it ended up bad? How about Proverbs 16:22? The reason I picked this one out is mainly for the second part of it. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The reason I pull in that last part, don't pick out counselors who are foolish. It's like I've heard financial counselors say, don't go get your financial counsel from broke people. Don't go get your marriage counsel from unmarried single people. That is not wise. Don't get counsel on how to fix a car from somebody who doesn't know anything about a car. Don't go get counsel on how to fix a broken marriage from a woman who's been divorced 3 times. Don't go get counsel on how to raise kids and the guy that sits over in the corner and his kids are bouncing off the walls, not obeying him, flopping around on the floor. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? There's wisdom in seeking counsel. I can remember my wife. I believe I have a wise wife. When my wife was raising children, do you know what? If we would ever go visit a church, or if somebody would come visit our church, or if there were people within our church, or whoever it was, if my wife saw a family where the children were obviously happy, godly, well-behaved, a home was in peace, whatever. When she saw that, or she saw a marriage that she could see, it's strong, she pulled the woman aside and said, help me. That's wise. I've heard Dave Ramsey say before, if you want to make it in a certain business, he says, find a guy who's been extremely successful and give him a call and tell him you'll buy his lunch if he'll allow you to have lunch with him and just pick his brain. See, there's wisdom in that. Now, that's not necessarily a spiritual thing, but this applies to all of life. In the very thing that you want to succeed at, find the people who have succeeded at it. I mean, people who have failed, for you to go seek their counsel there is foolish. And that's why I pulled that text out. The instruction of fools is folly. If I go to somebody who's obviously made lots of foolish decisions, then the instruction I get from them is going to be folly. So think on that. How about Proverbs 20 and verse 18? Plans, and don't worry here. I can see I'm not going to get beyond my first heading, so just relax. We're not going to be here till midnight. Proverbs 20 and verse 18, plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance, wage war. War. You know, if you're a king, war is pretty risky. Why? You could lose everything. If you're not stronger than the enemy that's coming against you, better to surrender, come to terms of peace. In fact, at first, if you're just a little weaker and it's likely going to cost them a whole lot, you may find that the terms of peace are pretty reasonable. But if you go to war, even if you beat the enemy, sometimes the battlefield's strewn with a lot of your own dead. You better think twice. Sometimes your own treasuries have been emptied by your war effort. France, England, they may have been victors in World War II, but it came at a high cost. Wage war, that's a big deal. You don't want to run into it lightly. What would you want to do? You would want to pull together counselors that could tell you, what is our strength look like? What is our real possibility of success here? Should we run into this? Who are our allies going to be? How much can we depend upon them? What's our military strength look like? What advantages do we have? What disadvantages do we have? You don't want to run... Whether it's waging war or many other major decisions, we want to be real careful. Okay. Just back... Don't turn back there, but remember Proverbs 16:22. Instruction of fools is folly. I just want to diverge one time here away from Proverbs, and we don't need to turn there, but it's an account that I've mentioned before, and some of you may be familiar with, comes out of 1 Kings chapter 12. It's the first 11 verses there. This is the account after Solomon's death. You may remember that Solomon's son, Rehoboam, took the throne. An enemy of Solomon's, who had fled away to Egypt by the name of Jeroboam, very similar names. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. Jeroboam was the enemy of Solomon. Jeroboam fled from Solomon to Egypt. Once Solomon was dead and Rehoboam the son was on the throne, Jeroboam came back. And he came with the people of Israel. And they came before Jeroboam and said, "Your father was pretty brutal on us. He taxed us pretty heavily. We'll serve you. Just lighten the yoke that your dad put on us." You remember what happened? Rehoboam sought counsel. The first thing he did was he sought counsel from the old men. Probably some of these old men had even been his father's counselors. These were men who were wise. These are men who had been around the block. These are men who had seen some things. These are men who had experience in governing a nation. These are men who he sought the counsel of. They had gray hair. You know what they said? They said, "You know what? If you do what they're asking, you lighten the load, they'll serve you. That's what we recommend you do. Do it. You know what he did? He excused them and he called in his buddies, the young guys that he grew up with, his peers, the guys that were in his clique, the guys that ran in his crowd, the guys that were just as ignorant, stupid, immature as he was. What do you guys think? They like had money signs in their eyes. Let's milk these people. Tell them whatever your father did, you're going to do worse. And he took the counsel of the idiots, the young guys, the foolish guys. And guess what? Divided the kingdom. 10 kingdoms left. Benjamin and Judah stuck with him. But the rest left. He lost. The kingdom was split. They went and they served Jeroboam. They made Jeroboam their king. Because he took foolish counsel from young people. Don't do that. Don't do that. And look, if you've already got your mind made up, and here's the thing about counsel. If you're going to be wise when it comes to counselors, you seek counsel so that they might give you things to think about so that you can process this before the Lord with the intention that I really want to do the Lord's will, and so I want to seek the counselors so that they can impart to me wisdom so that I can all the more fully know how to do God's will and do the thing that pleases Him. And the reason that a lot of people don't seek counsel is because they've already got their mind made up and they really don't want to do the Lord's will. They really don't want to do what they can discern is most pleasing to the Lord. They've already made up their minds, and so they go and seek counsel from the young guys because they know that it's going to be counsel that they want to hear, and they don't seek it from the guys that are older oftentimes or from the ladies that are older because they already have their minds made up and they really don't want the counsel from people who they know are going to tell them that they shouldn't do what they're thinking about doing. Or they just avoid the counsel altogether. And you know what Scripture says? Maybe you don't. Proverbs 18:1. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. Have you ever thought about that? A person who isolates themselves is a person who doesn't seek counsel. Why does a person isolate themselves? What's that? Yeah, so that because what it says there, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. I don't go seek counsel because I already got my mind made up about what I want to do and I don't want you to tell me different. And the same thing often goes behind why we seek foolish counsel from foolish people or from our own clique or from young people, and we don't go seek counsel from others who are probably a whole lot wiser about the situation. Why? Because we figure, when it comes to counsel, I just had a young lady just recently tell me in an email, I already know what you're going to say. Well, actually, she didn't know what I was going to say. I actually would not have said what she thought I was going to say. But you see, young people oftentimes are that way. I already know what you're going to say. I mean, that happens a lot of times. I already know what Brother Tim's going to say. And so I don't even need to go ask him. And people will, I will hear that sometimes. Somebody will say, I will hear from somebody, well, I told so-and-so that they should go seek your counsel on that. And I heard, but they said, well, I don't need to go seek counsel from him because I already know what he's going to say. And it's amazing how sometimes they actually have no idea what I'm going to say. And maybe sometimes they're right, they do know exactly what I'm going to say. And yet, it was not wisdom that they didn't seek me just because they knew what I was going to say. And you know what? If we're really wanting to know the Lord's will, we'll hear people out when they come and they say, I mean, look, I can tell you this. I had Mac Tomlinson tell me, he called me, and he said, Brother, I don't think you should seek to pastor Grace Community Church and Austin. My wife told me, I don't think you should seek to pastor both Grace Church Austin and GCC. And those are two people whose counsel I highly value. And I didn't dismiss it. Now, I ended up seeking to do it, but I did it because while I'm seeking counsel, I'm also praying and I'm seeking the Lord. And I really felt a sense from the Lord that I should do it. Now, and I went ahead and did it. And I don't know to date whether it's actually the best thing. But I felt at the time that I ought to move forward. That's one of the few things I can think of recently where I actually moved forward against the counsel of some folks in my life whose counsel I greatly value. I mean, but there's safety in it. And I recognize there's safety in it. There's a lot of times when I feel like, I can remember different situations, even from maybe even perhaps some of you that are sitting in the room. You know, sometimes some of you come to me with really hard questions. I mean, they're really hard. And don't think that your counselors are always going to have answers. I mean, there's sometimes when somebody, if you've got something really hard, even the greatest counselors are going to maybe just say, I don't know. I mean, Bob was often one of my favorite go-to counselors, and I can remember a very difficult situation with regards to my children and me just asking him, and you know, he really didn't know. He really didn't have an answer, and sometimes that's the case. And I've had some situations. I can remember Jordan asking me a question. We sat out here one, I don't remember what night it was, maybe a Wednesday night, but he asked me a question, and I can remember calling Sam Patrone afterwards and saying, Sam, here's a situation. What do you think? And sometimes you guys, you girls, you ask questions that are hard. And I don't know if there's a lot of times. And you know, I think that's good too. The kind of counselor that's not afraid. Some counselors, it's almost like if you ask them, they feel like they just have to open their mouth and say something. Even though it could just be the most foolish thing, they just seem like they have to vent just because they've been asked. And you know what? Finding the counselors who might hesitate sometimes and actually not give an answer might sometimes be some of the most valuable ones, because what it means is they're not being hasty to just give you something, to give you an answer. Sometimes they feel like they need to pray over a matter as well before they give you an answer. But just think about these things. Isolating yourself. You seek your own desire. Don't be people who isolate yourself just because you've already got your mind made up. We really need to be submissive and subjected. And if we are, we're not going to fear counsel. Because if somebody gives me good counsel that makes me realize, oh, you know what, this probably wasn't God's will. And the thing is, I get the distinct sense, because God says so much about counselors, that God works through counselors. I mean, those are His means to keep us in the way of safety, right? In the multitude of counselors are safety. Not in the multitude of fools, in the multitude of good, godly counselors. And if you put together... And I recognize that every time in your life, and you know, even on different days of the week, those counselors who may be available to you in the space of time that you have to make a certain decision. Some decisions have to be made faster than others, and I recognize the counselors who you seek out, the difficulty of the situation at hand, and the degree of which it's going to affect your life if you're wrong. Not every decision is as big as other decisions. We've always got to be determining who our group of counselors should be. But every one of us, if counsel is this important to the Christian life, then having a set of counselors is something that you would think, if wisdom is that closely attached to it, that the Proverbs speak this much about it, then it seeks that it seems like every one of us as Christians would have a distinct set of counselors that we on a regular basis are seeking the counsel of. If there's safety in that, then it seems that every one of us would have that going on in our lives. How about some other verses here? Proverbs 10:17. Although it doesn't speak directly about counselors, whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. Now, what I liked about this one is this. Reproof is kind of correction, but one of the ways correction will come is when I seek a counselor, and a counselor actually gives me counsel that may be at variance with the way that I thought to go. And he's actually giving me some corrective, and that maybe my thinking on this wasn't exactly right. And if I don't accept that kind of counsel, even when counsel may be kind of corrective, you know, I was going to go this way, and their counsel is now saying, I think, brother, you ought to go this way. Look, a person who is in the habit of rejecting such things is a person who's going to lead other people astray. That's what it is. They lead others astray. A fool who doesn't take counsel is a person who's going to lead other people astray as well. Now, did you catch that? That means when you are putting together your list, it doesn't have to be on paper, just mentally. When you're putting together your list of counselors, you should pick people who you know often are seeking the counsel of others. Now, Bob Jennings was one of my chief counselors when he was alive. And Bob was also a man who on a regular basis would seek my counsel. And I knew who was seeking other people's counsel. You see, none of the counselors other than the Lord Himself is God. And so you're not going to find the perfect, all-knowing counselor who you go to, who never seeks counsel from other people, and he's always right. The wisest people that you're going to meet for counsel are the ones who themselves know the value and safety in counselors. And so if you find somebody who doesn't seek counsel, it tells you that they're one of these people who like to live in isolation and are probably self-willed. And it probably tells you that they're a fool, and it probably tells you that they're the kind of person who's going to lead other people astray. You see that? A person who doesn't receive counsel and instruction and correction is a person who is going to lead others astray. Don't go to them for counsel. So watch. Watch for people that you believe are mature, and watch for people, you know what? Without even directly asking somebody about the question you have for them, you might go to somebody and ask, brother or sister, when you need counsel, who do you regularly go to? And ask them not only who they go to when they seek counsel, but how often in their life do they tend to go to others and ask for help or ask opinions? Because there's wisdom in that. You're gonna find out other wise people. Proverbs 15:32. This kind of reflects back to if you are wise, you are wise for yourself. Proverbs 15:32. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. If you ignore instruction, you ignore counsel. You despise yourself. And beware of this. What I can tell you is this. God in His Word has said there is wisdom and safety in a multitude of counselors. Beware then, because God tells you there's safety in counselors, Beware then of over subjectivity. You know what I mean by that? You get these people that walk around, well, God told me. If somebody is saying, well, I pray about matters and God shows me, I don't need counselors. Beware of that. When God Himself says that it's in the multitude of counselors that there's safety. You see, I would want to... Subjectivity is dangerous if you rest only in it. A wise person wanting to make a decision is going to pray. Why? Because the Lord says if you acknowledge Him, He's going to direct your path. But don't think He's just going to direct your path through your feelings and subjectivity. He often guides your path through wise counselors. And so, yes, you want to pray. Yes, you want to seek the Lord. Yes, you want to go walk in the field with the Lord. Yes, you want to go to Scripture. And one-on-one, you want to dive into His Word. And if you're feeling that God is subjectively telling you something, leading you some direction, moving you along in some direction, well, the way you would want to confirm it is by His Word, and if there's a multitude of counselors that makes for safety in life, and God is the one who tells you that, then do you think God would have you just go to the Word, just go to the field in prayer? If God Himself is telling you that there's safety in a multitude of counselors, it seems to me what He's telling you is as you're trying to discern the will of the Lord, which by the way in Ephesians 5 we're told to do, that one of the ways you're going to try to discern it is not just in prayer, not just in the Word, as important as those things are and as necessary as they are. One of the reasons that the counselors are so valuable is because there's safety in them, and oftentimes because those wise counselors will actually be able to direct you to places in Scripture as you're trying to sort out through things in a biblical manner. They can often recommend and suggest Scripture to you that you would not have otherwise thought of on your own. And that's one of the reasons Bob was so valuable to me, is because when I would call Bob, any of you that knew him, I mean, he could rattle off Scripture one after another. And sometimes he would bring you in places or he would suggest a text that you hadn't thought of. And that's what's valuable. Go to people that know their Bibles. Lots of value in that. Well, you know this one, Proverbs 27:17. Often quoted, but it really does go hand in hand with this. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Look for men and women who sharpen you. A sharp sword is deadly. It's valuable. It makes the work easier. Sharp is good. Sharp is what you want. And iron sharpens iron. You take an iron file and you put it to an iron axe head and you get a sharp axe. Find people who are files, who sharpen you when you talk to them, who bring up Scripture, who have good perspectives, wise. Remember, isolation, it just says you've already got your mind made up. We need to be surrendered to do the will of the Lord. And if we're really surrendered, and the Lord Himself says, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path, and He also says that safety in a multitude of counselors, we have to believe He's going to direct our path using means. Use the means. Use wise people. Look for people who are seeking counsel from others. Look for people who have it together in the very area that you're seeking counsel in. Beware of oversubjectivity. Beware of avoiding older saints. Beware of just resorting to your own clique of friends. Beware of avoiding people. I mean, you should suspect yourself if you avoid people because you know they're going to give you an answer you don't want to hear. And don't be afraid of taking counsel from somebody and then going and moving forward contrary to their counsel. That's going to happen sometimes. And sometimes you're going to seek counsel on hard things. And just like that incident with Bob, good men will give you 180 degree contrary counsel. But such wise men never give that sort of counsel in a vacuum. They tell you why they think so. They'll share experiences with you. They'll give you scripture to think about. And then you can ponder and you can pray. You can seek the Lord. Anyway, I wanted to share this with you because it seems like I've had like 5 or 6 incidents in the last 10 days maybe where I've just seen either counsel ignored by those who are wise or counsel not sought or counsel sought and unheeded, disregarded, or counsel not sought because an answer was, or because somebody, just somebody young saying, concerning a certain matter that they already knew how I would answer before they even asked. Just numerous things that have come up. Somebody making a major decision in life, major decision in their life. We need to get to the place where we suspect ourselves. And what I mean by that is we need to suspect sometimes that it's very possible that we're not thinking clearly about something or that we misinterpreted something or that we don't have all the light on something that perhaps we have. You know, the reason there's safety in counsel is we can get to places where we can just plain be messed up. I mean, I've seen Christians who just are not thinking right about something. It's like something is broken. Something is not right. Something is off with their thinking. And we can get into places where we go through spiritual times of confusion, dark clouds settle on us. We can just get to where we're messed up or we're confused or we're backwards or we're struggling or something, or we just don't have a proper perspective, or emotionally we're not all together, or spiritually we're going through a dark time, a hard time. There's all sorts of things that can come on us. And even in our best day, we can casually, you know, take some opinion with regards to something that, wow, we were just, you know, something escaped us, something went over our head, something we just didn't see or notice right. So I want you to think about this. The Proverbs say a lot about counsel. Why? Because there's a lot about living a wise life that has to do with this. And I think if we're... what I want you to be is calculated. I think once in a while, you know, some Christians can get to where they're desperate or they feel like, you know, they're out of answers because God has backed them into a corner where they just don't have... you know, they're in despair and they have no idea what to do and they finally seek counsel. But we ought to be seeking counsel on a regular basis. Got some major financial things. And you know, it I just know. If I'm thinking about a financial thing, I'm likely going to bounce it off of Carlos. Definitely bounce it off of my wife. Possibly bounce it off. It seems like I used to bounce more stuff off of Craig. Possibly bounce it off of John Seitzma. You know, bounce it off. We'll bounce it off of people. Now there's five elders. There's going to be all sorts of things. That's one of the beauties of having a team of elders leaving a church. We can seek the counsel of all five when we're making major decisions. There's safety. That's one of the reasons why I desperately did not want just three, especially with John gone as much as he is. I think there's much more safety in five elders than there is in three, especially when a lot of times only two are going to be here. But be calculated, be determined. Think on this. Don't live that isolated life of the guy that's already got his mind made up. Because there's not safety in that. You're going to wreck. You're going to crash. You're going to burn. You're going to. Remember, if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. And if you go wrong with counsel and you're not wise and you mess up, you're going to have to bear it. So what I'm telling you is for your good. It's greatly in your own benefit. Father, I pray that you would make us wise in these matters, discerning. Lord, I pray for our church. Raise up wise counselors all around. I mean, I pray, Lord, that our church would have 40, 50, 60, 70 people who are the highest caliber type counselors, discerning. I pray for that kind of wisdom and that kind of maturity in our midst. Mature us, Lord. I pray for a church of people that walk daily in fellowship with the greatest counselor of all, with the wonderful counselor. It's in His name we pray. Amen.